The Gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 11, and this can be found on page 75 of the Pew Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he'd spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And no one gave him anything. But then he came to himself. He said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up, and I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's got him back safe and sound.' Then the first son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ."
Please be seated, everyone. Morning. So this morning we are going to be looking at the parable of the prodigal son and what it means to be reconciled to God as his sons and his daughters. But before we do that, let's just take a moment in prayer. Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts to you again today. Lord, we ask that we might know you more and know you deeper today. Open our hearts to hear what you are saying to us. Amen. Amen. So last week, Mike wrapped up our series on habits for fruitfulness, which we've been looking at for the last 2 months or so. And the main goal of these spiritual habits or practices, as we might call them, is that we might walk in an active and daily and living relationship with our living and active God. And today we're going to be kicking off a new series that we'll be exploring for the next 6 to 7 weeks, right through Lent and into Easter, called Windows on the Cross. And it's based off a book by author Tom Smale called Windows on the Cross. And in this book, Tom Smale, he invites us to imagine a large building with lots of windows situated around a large internal courtyard. And stood in the middle of this courtyard is the cross of Jesus. And as we walk around the four sides of this building, we look out into this courtyard through different windows, and we start to see different things about it. We start to see the cross from different angles. You notice new things. You learn to see what Jesus has done for us in a new light. But, as Tom Smale says, it is only as we walk around the whole building, looking at the cross from all its different sides, that we come to appreciate what Jesus has done in its true and full beauty. And this is the heart of this series, that as we put these spiritual practices into routine and pursue relationship with Jesus, through the cross we might begin to see the fullness of the God that we are actually in relationship with and what it means to be in relationship with him. And that it is only through the work of the cross that we are invited to participate in that relationship with him. And that is where I want to take us today. That it is only through the cross that we are invited to participate in this relationship with him, as it is only through the cross that we are reconciled back to Christ. As we look at the cross today, as we look into that courtyard, I want to invite us to look through that window of reconciliation. And for those unsure, reconciliation simply means the restoration of friendly and right relations between two groups previously at odds. I want us to look through that window at the cross today. And so we come to this, the parable of the prodigal son, a story so well known by the whole world, the story of a son reconciled to his father. But before we dive in, I want to read this from a slightly different perspective than how I suspect we normally read it. See, I want to put it to you that this, whilst it is the parable of the prodigal son, I don't think this story is really focused on or even really about the prodigal son. I believe this is actually a story about the father. And see, here's why. See, you've got three characters in this story. You've got the two brothers and you've got the father. And if you were to take either one of those two sons out of the story and have just one of them, the story would still have the same message. A loving father accepts his sons despite their flaws. Whereas if you took the father out of the story, you get an entirely different story altogether. So as we read through this today, I want us to look through the father's eyes. I want us to read this story through his perspective, put ourselves in his shoes, feel what he felt, and come at this from his angle. And ultimately, I want us to try and understand how he views his children and how he sees us. So let's read. I'm just going to read from verses 11 to 14. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Ouch! If you're reading this from the father's perspective, if you're hearing this from the perspective of a parent, that should hurt. Reading that as a father's painful. Your own son comes to you and says, "Hey, Dad, you know that inheritance I get when you die? Yeah, can I have that now?" In other words, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead to me." This is your own son. And now, reading a little deeper into this youngest son, we don't know how young he is, but it's safe to assume he's still relatively dependent on his father for his life, just like we were when we were young with our parents. You know, he's probably dependent on him for his income, for his financial provision, for his security, for his food, for his protection. He's probably entirely dependent on his father, and that's how God intended us to be with him. When we look back to Eden, God's perfect creation, God intended us to be dependent on him for our source of relationship, and our source of joy and of provision. And ultimately, if God is our creator, God intended us to be our source of life. God breathed Adam to life. We are dependent on God's breath for our very life. God has everything we need. Yet so often we are like this son, and we decide we don't like the life God gives us anymore, and we go to him, and the problem is we go looking for our own life. We decide, "I don't like the life that you give me anymore. I'm gonna take the life you give me and I'm gonna squander it. I'm gonna go running off to different places. And the problem is we end up then cutting ourselves off from this true source of life and searching for our own. And we end up living like the son and approaching our own father and saying, Dad, I wanna live as though you're dead. The creator of all things, the giver of all good gifts. And we go to him and say, I've had enough of what you give me. I wanna go looking to see what the world can give me. Oh, I wanna live as though you're dead. And as this story goes on, we see how this son's situation just gets worse and worse as he tries to live his own life apart from the father. You cannot take the father out of this story. A famine arises. He loses all his money on gambling and prostitutes. And he ends up eating the same food as pigs. The same food as pigs. That's not the life God intended for us. That's far from it. And the son comes to his own realization of this. In verse 17, we read, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. In other words, there was now a distance between him and his father, between what his father offered and what he was living in. And through his own sin, he had raised a barrier to his father and he was dying. Friends, our sin raises a barrier between us and God. It creates a difference between the life God intended us to live in and the life we end up living. And it is a difference that can only be overcome through the reconciling work of the cross. See, if we live in this sin, we too, like the Son, will end up dying. However, I want to draw your attention to just one more verse, and we're going to go back to verse 14, and I want us to read this again from the father's perspective. Note how it says, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. He began to be in need. Let's think about this from the father's perspective. Your own son, the son you love and created, is in need. Your own son. Imagine seeing your son in a faraway land with no money, nothing to save himself, starving to death and effectively dying. Thinking through that from a father's perspective breaks my heart. I think it's safe to say the son is in need. But what is it he's in need of? Does he just need some better food? Does he need some rain to come and end the drought? Does he need a nice roof to stay under? No, friends, what the son needs to save him from his hell is his dad. What the son needs is his dad, and what we need to save us from our sin is our father. What we need to save us from our sin is our father. And God, being the God he is, does not wait for us to clean ourselves up and go looking for him before choosing to accept us again. But this is the God who decided a way for us to enter into relationship with him and make a way for us by dying the most painful, humiliating, and famous death in the history of mankind. This is the God who saw his children from a distance living in suffering and death with nothing to save themselves and chose to send his only son to become their savior, not by ignoring suffering and death, but by repurposing them and embracing them. See, when Christ, the sinless Savior, died on that cross, he died the death of a sinner. He died the death that ultimately you and I deserved. But when God raised him back to life, he showed that not even death itself could hold him down. Not even death itself. Through Christ's resurrection, his spirit was poured out for all. And all we have to do is believe that Jesus really is the Son of God. And that very same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will come and make his home in you, wash you clean of all your sin, and rise you from the dead in perfection and new life with Jesus. As we heard in 2 Corinthians, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And if we think about the dynamics of the cross for a second, if we think about how this works, this is the Holy Spirit that lives in you is exactly the same one that rose Christ from the dead 2019 years ago. Exactly the same one. It's not a different one, it's exactly the same. And therefore it carries all of Christ's spiritual DNA, if you like. and that now lives within you. So much so that Christ's nature is now yours. He lives within you, meaning that when God the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your DNA, he sees Christ's. Hence why we can be called children of God, because he sees his own son. He sees his own son. The Apostle John would put it, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God because Christ, God's own son, lives within us. John would also say so famously, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved you that he gave his only son. And we have Christ living within us, so God will never turn us away. The distance our sin creates between us and God has been shattered. The barriers our sin raises between us and Christ have been trampled on. Through the cross, we have been restored to friendly and right relationship with God. And that, my friends, is what I would call good news. That is what I would call good news. I want to come back to Luke 15 and this, the parable of the prodigal son. And I want to read to us about that magical moment when you hear the father and the son reconciled again, where you see the father running to the son. And I want you guys to simply listen to me reading this, and I want you to imagine you are the son. I want you to listen to what is the father saying to you as he runs to you. Hearing this through the father's perspective, what is he saying to you? What is his heart for you as I read this? Just imagine, picture yourself seeing your father running from a distance. And it says this, but when the son came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have enough bread to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Friends, we were dead, but through the cross, through the work of the cross, we are alive again to live in his love. And it's tough to know what to do with news just this good. It seems too good to be true. And if that's how it feels, then congratulations, you've understood it right. It is too good to be true. And I think there's only really a few things that we can do in response. And I think the first thing we can do is worship. When I'm reminded of the lengths Jesus went to and the death he died so that I might be free to live in relationship with him, all I can do is be thankful. All I can do is worship. I think the second is to tell everyone. News this good isn't designed to be kept to ourselves. You know, can you imagine the heartache God feels to think that he died for people that don't know that he died for? There's so many more prodigal sons out there that do not know that the Father is running to them. I think news this good must inspire us to tell everyone. And the third is to respond. I think we have to choose to step into the life that we have been reconciled to and out of the life that we have been set free from. And I really feel strongly this morning that we should all take a step of response. I really believe that God is inviting us all into a deeper relationship with him, and he wants us to choose to step into that. And that might look different for all of us. For some of us, we might feel like, actually, we know this story. We're familiar with that. Well, let me invite you to bring yourself back to being that son for a moment and seeing your father run out to you. Let me invite you to step into response with that. Some of you might empathize with the son. I know I do. This is what was coming to me all week as I was preparing this. Some of you might feel the son and realize that actually, when you realize you need to come back to your father, you think, I know, I can earn it. Notice how the son says, I will go back to him. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. He says, treat me like God offers. Notice even the eldest son we read later, he says, you know, I do all these good things. I never once mess up, yet you celebrate him. He also thinks he can earn his dad's love. Maybe a step of response might be to say, okay, God loves me whatever I do. Maybe one step of response for you might be to say that, you know, my relationship with Jesus isn't great right now. Maybe I don't even have one. I want to step into the promise of that forgiveness of that Holy Spirit. I want to step into a reconciled relationship with my dad. Maybe that is the response. So maybe just take a moment just to sit and pray and ask, what is the response? And then in a moment, we're going to close and I'll pray for us. And I want you to echo the prayer that I say in your hearts. But just maybe take a moment to think, what is my response to this? To news this good, what is my response? Jesus, thank you that you did pay the price for us on the cross, that we might be reconciled back to our Father. Thank you that two parties previously at odds can now be one with each other. And thank you that to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And God, we want to step into more of the life that you give us today. We're sorry for the times we run away. We're sorry for the times that we squander what you give us. And we want to step back into the life that you give us. We want to step back into all that you have for us, all your promises. We thank you that you love us. And we want to love you more. Amen.